of Education Building. Today is September 12th of 2017. It's 5:02, and the board met earlier today in two very delightful visits. First, we started at Riverside Preschool and had an opportunity to tour and to visit with the teachers at the preschool. Nothing fills your school board tank better than hanging out with a bunch of 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. So it was a great opportunity to be there, followed by our board visit at Wilson Elementary, and also amazing things happening at that elementary school. Principal Sorensen was very kind and gracious to us and helped us to see and be exposed to lots of great teachers and the amazing things that they're doing with our students at the school. The board then met in closed session to discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property, and now we are ready for our regular meeting. We're going to start today with our Pledge of Allegiance, which will be led by our principal of Logan High School, Mr. Ken Ault.
Would you please arise? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. All right, do we have any public comment? No public comment? All right, board members. The first thing we're going to have is the reports from our Parent Teacher Association, which is our PTA President, Becca Crookston. Becca.
Ken made it taller than me. Okay, hi. I am excited to be back. So the fun thing I get to share before I turn the time over to Hillcrest is something called Play with PTA. So Play with PTA is kind of big in the Salt Lake area and a little bit in Ogden, but it's really not involved much of our community because we have quite the distance to be able to participate in those things. But statewide, the state of Utah PTA has things that they have sponsorships with. So some of them are like the Hill Center Theater and the Bees, and so things that are, like I said, far away. But when someone is a member of the PTA, they get a discount or a special rate at those kind of events. And so the Play with PTA for the state of Utah is partnershipping with My Discovery Destination. I don't know if you saw much about that this summer. It was kind of brand new to the area, but it's taken off. They've had a lot of involvement with it, and then they're now starting a summer, like a school year session, not just the summer break. And so they are partnering with Play with PTA branding, and they have activities and stuff. Most of them are actually free anyway, but when they do charge, they have a cost per child or a PTA membership at the school. And so that's kind of a fun partnership that we're building that they have in our local community for just kind of more exposure of what membership in PTA can be for a community, not just my child attends one school, so I will join this one PTA, but it can be a community. It can be parents that have children that have grown and are out of the house but still are involved with grandkids. It can be neighbors. It can be children that are younger than our school ages, and they can also participate and see those benefits of PTA. And that's going to be fun to watch as it grows this year and see what that becomes. So we're excited for that. And then Kate is here from Hillcrest.
I'm Kate Tuig. I'm the president of Hillcrest Elementary. So Hillcrest has a really great PTA. We're really lucky. We have a lot of parents that say yes, a lot. We have 27 different parents running on programs. That's not just the four parents running, but 27 people running.
I don't know.
They're all hair strange.
We've had problems.
I'll be loud.
So we run traditional like PTA programs like Reflections and Dads and Donuts, Moms and Muffins, Safety Week, traditional ones like that. Some of the ones that Hillcrest runs that might be a little bit more different than other schools. We have watchdogs where we encourage dads and grandpas and uncles to come in once or twice a year and volunteer for either the day or a half day, and they're with the kids in their classroom, and they play with all the kids at recess, they high-five the kids coming in. So dad can sign up. It's a little bit harder sometimes for working parents to come in for an hour every day at a certain time. So instead of that, they're encouraging them to take a half day off of work or a full day off of work and spend a day at the school visit. So we have watchdogs there. Another program that we have that might be unique to Hillcrest is we started a garden project. So we built a garden, the PTA did, and the teachers used it. So the kindergarten class just came out, might have been yesterday, and planted seeds. The kindergartners and science prep teacher uses our garden, and they had a big at our back to school night, a big basket of the garlic that was grown by the kids at the garden. So that's kind of fun. And then the third one is we have last year developed a volunteer committee. We noticed that some classrooms had like 10 parents that would be willing to volunteer in that classroom, and then some classrooms had one or no parents. And so we designed a place for teachers to be able to sign up and say, I need parents during this time doing this thing. Either like randomly, like on Tuesday the 4th, I need somebody, or every Tuesday, I need someone to come help read with my kids. And then all the parents could sign up regardless if their kid was in that class or not. And I think that it has helped our school have more parents in more classrooms where they're needed versus having massive amounts in one and not so many in the others. So I think those are three kind of unique programs that we've got going on right now. Is that it? Do you need any questions?
Very nice. What's enrollment, PTA enrollment across the district?
Do you know?
As first,
I don't know.
Parents joining PTA. I feel like that more people are joining, less people are joining.
Memberships haven't come to me yet, so I don't have a good answer at all.
Ours are still trickling in. It seems a little bit lower this year. We've had a handful of parents. When you join the PTA, it's $8, and then you get a directory with it. And we've seen a couple come back that didn't join the PTA in just a directory. So I'm not really sure why that is. So we have a lot of active parents that aren't members. I don't know why. But it seems this year is a little bit worse. But it's still trickling in.
I know they were talking about a way to get that volunteer information out to the community. Because I know you have like a lot of retired teachers who live in the area that would come in.
Yeah.
Could they figure out?
I don't know. Magna Tech, our, what is she called? What is the reading program where they have? She has done a great job of that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how she did it. And we do get grandparents and.
Yeah, because I just know, I mean, I've talked to a couple teachers, former teachers that live in the area that are retired.
Yeah.
They're like, I would love to go back in, but trying to make the connection.
I know Lorraine Anderson came in last year and worked with Ms. Williams for a while, but I'm not really sure about that.
And I know Sarah Dutray had talked about her kind of like trying to write a program or something to coordinate it all. I don't know what ended up happening with any of that.
So last year, I was the one who started the volunteer committee, and I'm like a paper and pencil girl, so I had my piece of paper in the teacher's lounge, and they signed up that way. Sarah's like amazing with computers, so she's doing it, she's taking it above and beyond, and I'm not exactly sure how much she's gotten done yet with them. She's probably working on that.
Okay. Any other questions? Very nice. Thank you so much.
I was going to ask them how they're doing that.
If there's any time that the board members like that, the board would be helpful to attend an event, or if you just let us know.
Okay.
We just support PTA.
Do you guys like running? You want to come run?
We're cheerleaders.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. We appreciate all you do.
Thanks.
All right. We'll now have a report from our Logan Education Support Professionals, which is Elsa Hina. Elsa.
First, I'd like to apologize for our president. She's got some personal things going on in her life, which requires her not to be able to be in attendance on Tuesday. So until we can figure out who's going to come, I think we're all going to kind of take turns.
Okay. We might begin who the president is.
Oh, the
Terry. Thank you. Like, oh. Yes, Terry Anderson. And I'm supposed to be the president of life, and I'm trying to pass that on.
Stacey's like,
Anyway, I think the school year's been off to a great start, even though we're shorthanded in some of the staff, you know, filling some of the staff key positions. In talking to some people in various schools, it's been cool to watch and some of that. My daughter works at Ellis, so I get to bump in there periodically, and at Mount Logan, where everybody just steps in. You know, whether it's the custodians and sweepers or an aide or whatever that position is, that everybody's stepping in to make sure that stuff is being done and that the kids don't notice that there's a shortage of any kind. And it isn't just in our district, I think it's a statewide problem, because I heard a report where the economy is doing so well that it's hard to find people to work. But I've also noticed there's been some creative ways. When schools are shorthanded, I know at Ellis they've been doing a lot of personal Facebook pages where they're like, hey, we need this. Do you know anybody? And I think it's been quite successful in some areas. I know we fill quite a bit of our positions just through word of mouth and say, hey, do you know anybody? Or, I think as it gets more and more harder to fill positions, word of mouth and saying, yeah, this is a great place to work and it's fun, I think that'll help us fill some of those positions, hopefully. I know everybody was really happy to come back and found that they got a really nice increase. That was a good incentive for some of them who were thinking, maybe I won't come back, you know, because of schooling or whatever, but then they couldn't find another job that pays just as much as this, so they say, so that's been great. So, but, and I think it's the first time that we haven't gotten emails that say, hey, check this out for us. What do you hear about this? So maybe it's because everybody's tired and still working off the start of school, but maybe it's been more positive issues. So. Any questions? Okay.
No questions? You're very good.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate all you do, and we're happy to have you here anytime you want to come.
No problem.
Even if you're not giving a report, you're welcome to come and hang out at work.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Do we have a mic? Oh, yes. Yes. So we have our report from our Logan Education Association.
It's not working at all.
I know. It's not. President Mike Mudrow.
Okay.
Just call me Mike. So we hit the program this year, and our association building leaders are already going into the classrooms as comprehensive new teachers to help acclimate and serve as a resource for them. We'd like them to make as many contributions as they can to the already fantastic faculty that we have. We'd like to do what we can this year to help retain as many of those people as we can and make our district very attractive to teachers next year. So, on the 22nd of September, we have a homecoming game for Logan High School. We are sponsoring an activity in conjunction with the Cash Education Association to fill the Crimson Field and invite as many teachers to come and enjoy the game as we can this year. Something we started a couple years ago, and it showed a lot of promise, and we hope that this will be the first of many joint ventures we have with the Cash Education Association. And we're also going to be spearheading a movement where we're going to take the lead and try to help pass the Save Our Schools, or Our Schools Now project, sorry. And we'll be out talking to teachers and parents after hours, of course, as much as we can in the coming months to make sure that is a successful measure, and so we can help get the word out and get as many people out to the polls once we get them out. I think that's what we're doing for now.
Very nice. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions for Mike? We welcome you, by the way. You're new to the position of serving as president at the LEA, so you're a familiar face, but new to your position. So we're excited to have you here as our representative this year. And we'll have lots of fun working with you for a while. Thank you very much for all you do.
Thank you, Madam President.
All right, we'll now have a report from our Logan Community School District Administrator Association, which is also new to us, which is our Logan High School Principal, President Ken Ault. He's also new to the position. So welcome, Ken.
Thank you. You can't hear me, so I'll...
Mine works, so come grab this one. So we can at least record. We're supposed to record it, so there you go.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? It's like a commercial. There's a lot of great things that are happening in our district. I was able to get some feedback from our elementary principals. And I just have a little bit to report in regards to some of our elementaries. At Hillcrest Elementary, the principal would like to say that as a school, they are celebrating their SAGE success at Hillcrest, where they came in above the state average in all testing areas, and in particular with science, we were 15% above the state average. Also, they may already know, you may know this, Christiana Earl, a first grade Portuguese teacher, was named State DLI Portuguese Teacher of the Year in August. So, pretty awesome. Adams Elementary has had a great startup this year. They have started some after-school programs and also created some new drop-offs and pickups for students. Their SAGE scores were higher than the state average in 2 out of 3 areas tested this year. Ellis Elementary is celebrating that they scored above the 60 percentile in growth for reading, math, and science. Wilson reported that they were 72 percentile growth in math, and Bridger was 67th percentile growth in math as well. So a lot of great things at the elementary schools. At Logan High School, we have a lot of things going on at Logan High. I'm just telling you. It's awesome. Our innovations program, I won't talk a lot about it because our teachers will be coming to present to the board, but a lot of positive experiences for students. We've already had students that have completed a full credit. We've had multiple students complete a full credit, and we're not even 4 weeks into school. So it's been really positive, and those teachers have brought a lot of excitement to our students and to our school. So really, really proud of that and doing well. We're going to try something new this year. We're going to empower our teachers to do faculty meeting this year and do professional development. And I've asked our AVID site team to take that on, and so they will be doing half of our professional development on engagement strategies, engaging kids in learning for our professional development coming up on the 22nd, and also they will be doing that throughout the whole year in our faculty meetings to engage our teachers in strategies that will benefit the needs of all kids. So really excited about trying that and seeing if it empowers our teachers to really help us move forward with our district mission and our school mission of helping all kids. We are in the process of bringing AmeriCorps to Logan High School to work with our at-risk kids. I was able to get a confirmation today, so it's going to help many of our kids that have limited support, as well as that are at risk of not graduating, to have a mentor that will work with these students and help work with their teachers and help them have success. So it's another layer of support that we're able to provide for our students, which I think will be nothing but positive for Logan High School. And last but not least, we are, I'll talk later more about this, but we have the Hall of Fame coming to present at Logan High School. It's a huge event, and I won't get into that until we get into the work session, but we're really excited and proud to have that opportunity to celebrate Merle Olson. So those are the things that are happening. Thank you.
Very nice.
Questions, sorry.
It's okay if I don't hear you because you get GEICO for 70%
less. Thanks for that.
Do you have a date for the? I would assume you want the board to participate in the homecoming parade this year.
Yes.
Can you give us the date?
That'll be Wednesday. Is that the 20th? It's Wednesday the 20th. So, yes.
The parade starts at 6 o'clock?
Yes.
Perfect. We'll make sure that you've got
it. What's that?
The lineup's at 5:30.
The lineup is at 5:30. So, if you're there at 6, you might miss it.
20 at 26.
The 20th.
20th at 5:30.
At 5:30.
At 5:30.
Starts at 6.
Any
other questions?
We'll make sure that we have a vehicle, and Jeff will provide some kind of amazing thing for us to pass out to them by 10 o'clock.
Yes, he will.
We appreciate you. Welcome aboard. We're excited to have you aboard. You're always aboard, so.
Well, yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I just
so
ordered the football.
And express our appreciation to the team.
They should be here by the time. I will.
Okay. Next on the agenda is our consent calendar, which is listed as minutes dated August 22nd, 2017, the Fast Forward Revised School Land Trust Plan, as well as the School Land Trust Amendment.
I would like to pull the Fast Forward Revised School Land Trust Plan.
Okay, I have a motion to pull off the Fast Forward Revised School Land Trust Plan from the consent calendar. Okay. Motion was made by Ann, seconded by Lisa. Any further comments or questions about that?
There was also personal pay on here, even though it doesn't say
extra
that.
Pay for extra
extra pay for extra services.
In there if you look at
it. It just doesn't say that on the,
on the agenda.
So, the agenda.
All right, so we're going to make a motion to take the Fast Forward Revised Trust Plan off the consent calendar. Motion by Ann, seconded by Lisa. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now we need a motion on the consent calendar. Whoever makes the motion, would you please add the personnel item to that as well, if you so choose to do that?
So.
Yes. Okay, motion has been made by Connie to approve the consent calendar, which is the minutes dated August 22nd, the school land trust amendment, as well as personnel, correct?
Extra.
I'm sorry, extra services for extra duty, correct?
I apologize for not being able to repeat that word for word.
Yeah. That was your motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion has been seconded by Jenny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Consent calendar passes with those amendments. First thing on our action items would be the action on the child nutrition procurement. I have a hard time saying that word, whatever that word is, policy. And we're grateful to have our child nutrition manager, Paul Guyton.
The policy that we have here for procurement varies slightly from what the district procurement policy is, because federal funds are received from a different pot of money through the USDA, so they require that we have a different procurement policy. Pretty much it's just stating that we, as child nutrition, of any purchases we make, that it follows the policy. This was a model policy given to us by the state office and just adapted to the our needs of the Logan School District. Such things as like our purchasing of anything that's $3,500 or more has to have quotes for the school district, and is $5,000. There's just a couple things that are different, and then a couple provisions and stuff that require for child nutrition that don't apply for the district. So this is just a policy that's been reviewed. Yeah, I reviewed that in policy on that. Any questions?
Yeah, I did. Under D. When it's available only from the single source, just says at the bottom, a member or representative of the local board of education will approve the advance. Do we do that?
This was approved by Christy on the 5th.
Okay. No, I'm just saying under D, it says if you are procuring something from just a single source, but a member of the board has to sign off. You're saying, is that normally?
Could be or designee, which would you get?
Yeah, I would add
designee.
It doesn't say designee.
Yeah.
Okay,
we can change that.
Yeah. I assume that's Jeff.
Yes.
It's not one of us that approves that.
Yes,
so
that's great.
Wording was a little confusing.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Unless that's law. Yeah.
That's not.
Okay.
We're just at the Board of Education designated to do it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That would be great. We can do that.
Strike out the words if we don't have the revenue board.
Yeah. Perfect. Any other questions, comments? Okay, thank you.
All right. I will take an action on the child nutrition procurement policy.
I will make a motion to approve it with a change under D, saying the board designate.
I would second that. Okay, motion's been made by Lisa to approve the child nutrition procurement policy with the change in wording under number D. Seconded by Connie. Comment?
Yes, are we passing it on its first reading then? We usually have done more than one reading unless it's been requested to do it on the first reading.
This is one. The request from Paul was that we adopt this on the first reading because it is the passage of this policy is a compliance issue for our receipt of federal funds. So for this policy, the request was that we adopt it first reading.
Then I would have it that we do approve it on the first reading. Just a comment with that.
So does it not have to be numbered?
After the discussion from last time, we will need to put it. We will need to come up with this is policy X, B1 or whatever the numbering system now is. Yeah. Because the format is not there anymore.
But the numbering of the policy is not a prerequisite for the adoption of the policy. So we can adopt the language, we can follow those guidelines, and then we can, as we work with the numbering system, we'll just put it in the right place.
Just make sure we don't forget to do that. So, all right, so we have the motion made by Lisa, seconded by Connie. Any other questions or comments about the procurement policy? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, policy passes on its first reading. Thank you very much, and thank you, Paul, for that as well. Second action item is the action on the loan agreement between the Logan City School District and the Capital Preservation Board. Superintendent.
Thank you. As you all know, and to remind those members of our audience who haven't been part of the discussion previously, our large Minerva Tykert oil painting, Jim Bridger Meets the Indians, is on loan to the Utah Capitol Preservation Board. It is currently on display in the Utah State Capitol down next to the Hall of Governors. So it is just northwest of the portrait of Governor John Huntsman. So it is there. It is on display. It was transported down. They brought in a restoration specialist from Denver who went and cleaned the painting, fixed a couple holes, some damage that had been done, and it's looking really nice where it is hanging on the floor, on the wall. Because of the costs involved in the restoration, the Preservation Board approached us about extending the length of the loan from 5 years to 10 years. There was some additional damage to the canvas that had to be repaired. Then once they were able to get it into the specialists who were actually working with it, the cost involved in restoring the painting was such that they asked if we would be willing to extend the length of the loan. It is still recorded as one of our fixed assets. We still have it on record. It is marked down there as property of the Logan City School District. There is a marker next to it that has a history, a brief bio of Minerva Tykert, and also has some information, property of the Logan City School District, on loan, etc. The property is secure. It's being well displayed. It is clear. It's recorded that it is ours, both on our end as well as theirs. So because of the work that has been involved, my recommendation, my request to the board would be that we extend the length of the loan to 10 years as opposed to the original 5.
All right. Thank you, Superintendent. Do I have action on the loan agreement between the Logan City School District and the Capital Preservation Board?
I move that we accept the motion as stated by the superintendent.
Okay, we have a motion made by Connie. Do I have a second?
Second by Ann.
Second by Ann. Any questions or comments about this?
I am glad that we went through this process so that we can have it restored to what it should be. It's shameful to have a piece of art that is degrading and not displayed properly, and so I'm pleased that by doing this on loan, we're able to restore this amazing painting. I think we owe it to our state and our children and the gift that it was from the during the public works administration that we make sure that we're good stewards, and this is the only way really for us to justify the expense and be good stewards.
It was the preservation board that made the extent of the restoration. So by something that they could in good faith extend the loan, I feel very
Yeah, all costs associated with the transportation of the painting and the restoration were all borne by the Capital Preservation Board. For our audience, just so they are aware, we are having a giclée made of the original. Because we are the owners of the painting, we still have the rights to do so. We are having a reproduction made that will be hung in the auditorium at Logan High School. It will be smaller than the original. The original is somewhat overwhelming, especially in a small space. So we are having a slightly smaller reproduction made that will be hung there. It will be on canvas, and it will be something that we'll label it to indicate the original is on display at the Capitol. But we wanted to take care of this piece of art in a way that respects it, but still have the ability to put something of it on display.
I think it's where it belongs, too, for everybody in Utah. It's a part of Utah history. It's a part of American history. And just the title of her paintings, you know, the anything to do with the West, meeting the horses, meeting the bears. I forget all the names of them, but they're just gorgeous. And you can, I used to love watching and looking at that picture when it was in Randy Smith's choir room, but it didn't fit. It was like it was in the way.
Like this,
yeah, and you know, so to know that we are being good stewards of a very important piece of artwork, as opposed to selling it for $25 to, you have to tell the story on that.
A lot of people selling, you know, really important artwork without investigating, first of all, and I think that Frank is to be commended, and the other people who were involved in having the assessor look at all of these things, evaluate everything, go through all the repairs, who it was by, when it was done, you know, all of the different artwork that we have. So to be so very, very careful with things that don't belong to us as board members, for sure, but that they belong to everybody sitting in this room. And so to have them so carefully looked at, carefully evaluated, and now very carefully taken care of and shared, I think this has been an excellent process. Thank you.
I'm also excited. I can't wait to see it. It'll be a wonderful opportunity to be able to go down there and see that hanging in the Capitol, and to be able to take our students that tour the. We have a lot of variety of students that actually go to Capitol frequently from our district, and it would just be great to be able to have them see that. And definitely I'm excited that it's out of the high school where it could be potentially damaged or harmed in a safe environment where multiple people, so hopefully thousands of people, will be able to enjoy and appreciate the beauty. So I'm excited to be able to see it. It's a good place for it. All right, so do I have a motion then to... Oh, we already need a motion. All right, thank you. All right, any other comments or questions about the painting? All right, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, okay, it's going to hang in the Capitol for 10 years, so make sure that whoever's on the board in 10 years remembers that it's a 10-year commitment.
In our books, we won't forget.
Yeah, there you go. Next on our agenda is our discussion item, which would be the recognition of Logan High School as an NFL Hall of Fame school. I'm very excited to be able to have this presentation because I'm familiar with this. This is a totally new concept for me. I barely can understand football. The person that
sits by me at a football game is at a severe disadvantage because I don't even know what's going on. So there's a ball, and I know I have to move down the field, but I just want to talk to the person next to me and eat a bowl of nachos. So Principal Alls will help us with that. I do know who Merlin Olson is.
That's a good start. That's all you need to know. Which one works? It's working now? Okay. So this is the Merlin Olson Hometown Hall of Famer ceremony. The Pro Football Hall of Fame and Ford Motor Company are pleased to bring the Hometown Hall of Famer program to Merlin Olson's High School, Logan High School. On Thursday, September 21st, 2017, Logan High School will be the 112th high school to become an official high school of the Pro Football Hall of Fame by accepting this historical artifact. Hometown Hall of Famer is a national program that honors the hometown roots of the greatest heroes of the game with special ceremonies and plaques, dedication events in local communities. So ours will be September 21st at 9:15 a.m. That is part of homecoming. So we will be doing a pep assembly because they want it to be a celebration. So we will have our cheerleaders, our band, and also our football players that will greet, I believe, one of the members of the family as they will be escorted into the rec center gym. And there will be a program and a presentation. Rod Tuller will be one of our guest speakers to talk about Merlin Olson and his connection to Logan High School. And so also there'll be some speakers from the Hall of Fame. So we will be inviting local dignitaries and individuals that that have been connected to Logan High, Utah State, and the Hall of Fame. They project that they'll have about 75 family members that will come to this event to support the presentation of this plaque. And we will find a place in our high school to put the plaque.
Do you know who the other NFL Hall of Famers
is? I do not.
In order to get into the Hall of Fame, Merlin Olson was like an amazing football player. Yes.
Beyond amazing. You have to be...
It's because he was on Little House on the Prairie. It's because he was on Little House on the Prairie.
There you go.
So they sent me the video that they'll be playing about Merlin Olson, and it's really a really nice tribute to his experience in high school as well as at Utah State in the NFL, one of the most dominating players to ever play in the NFL. And so he was part of, they called him the Four Horsemen, played for Indianapolis Colts, and back in the early days was a phenomenal football player. So it's a great honor and privilege to have the NFL come to our high school and to recognize his hometown high school as part of the NFL. And there's a lot of things that come with that. There's all of the videos and activities and things that the NFL does, now Logan High School can be a part of that. So it's kind of a really great honor to be part of that. So we're excited. It's going to be a big event. There will be a reception afterwards for his family and for a handful of individuals, and that will be what will happen on the 21st. They called us and said, we'd like to honor Merlin Olson. We found out that Logan High was his high school, and we'd like to do this presentation. And so they actually gave us a date, which wasn't ideal because it's homecoming week. But It's the Hall of Fame. I mean, what do you do? You make it work. So we will do that on Thursday.
All right. So is that something that you would like board members to attend?
Yes, you will get an invitation. We have an invitation that we'll be giving out, and yes, so we would love for all of you to be able to attend if you would like.
What's really funny is I know of two times that Merlin has come back, one is for a foundation celebration, uh-huh. Another was for candlelight.
Oh, really?
You know, and for him, the Abrams stuff would come in, and for the foundation, he wore a tux, and just, you know, he loves Logan's eye. And I just think it's really neat when we have somebody who remembers his roots and cares about his roots. Uh-huh. And so he expressed that many times when he was back at Logan's eye.
That's awesome.
That's exciting.
Any questions that you have that maybe I can answer? They will be videotaping the entrance with our students. That will start about 8:30. So certainly you're welcome to come to that, and they will have local media. They will also have national media that will be there to videotape this event. So it's going to be a big production. It'll be in the Grizz Gym. Yes. So they did not want to do it in the auditorium. They did not want it to be like a formal, even though there's an element of formality to it, they wanted the cheerleaders to perform, our drill will perform, they want the kids to be excited. Even though most of our kids may not know who Merlin Olsen is, but they know what the NFL is, and they certainly know what the Hall of Fame is. So that's kind of the premise of what the event will look like.
And so there'll just be one assembly for the entire school?
Yes. Yep.
Exciting. That's really
fun. It is. Will do. No comment.
There are people in the community that actually played with him.
So we're trying to reach out to people that might be interested in coming to support this event.
Okay, very nice.
So.
Exciting. Yay. Homecoming week's going to be exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
It always is.
What a wonderful opportunity for Logan High and for Merlin Olsen and his family. So
yeah.
Thank you very much for that presentation, and we look forward to participating with that. And
all right.
Thank you so much. All right. Next is our discussion on the 10-day staffing and enrollment report. Superintendent.
Thank you. Thank you. I've recently emailed you all, I turned it off, a copy of a chart that I'm going to be trying to get up here on the screen. My computer's struggling just a little bit. Well, my computer registers it's working, but the projector doesn't. I'll try this one more time.
new code. Okay, my apologies to the audience. We'll move forward with what we have here. What you have in your on your computer, we'll see if it comes up as we move through the presentation. The first two charts show our elementary enrollment at the end of last year and the start of this year, broken down by school and by grade. So you see the grade across the top and the school to the left. And then you'll so you have that for the first year with the totals by grade and then our total enrollment by school. And then our overall elementary enrollment, first for last year and now for this year. As you see, anything that's in red is an increase. So you don't see a whole lot of those. There are a couple. You see the overall elementary enrollment at Bridger increased, and the enrollment in kindergarten and second grade both had increases. Not the second grade one's not insignificant. They were up nearly about 12 students. In a district of our size, that adds up quickly. So you can see elementary, we have generally seen a slight decrease at each school. Not huge decreases for the most part, but we do see that our overall elementary enrollment is down from 2,816 students to, as of today, 2,726. So we do have a decrease in our elementary enrollment. As we have looked into the causes for that, the main issue that we've come up with, and we've had schools dig into things, you'll see there, for example, Hillcrest has a fairly significant drop from 491 to 445. That's the largest elementary decrease that we have. Principal Holmgren and his staff looked into identifying who those students were and where they had gone. And what we found is there wasn't one reason for that decrease, but what you would see was, for example, 15 students who had returned home to their home country, 14 students who moved out of state. We had four students, and in fact, you'll see this at the very bottom. If you scroll down, you have the numbers there, Hillcrest enrollment decrease. So we had 23 students move out of state, 14 students move out of the country, 13 students move from Hillcrest boundaries to another school boundary within our district. So as you look at that, there is no single indicator or reason for the decrease in enrollment. It really is a reflection of a whole bunch of different changes. As we've looked at enrollment at our other elementaries, that really reflects what we see across the board. The largest issue that affects our elementary enrollment is the demographics of the neighborhood. As we know, we do have some communities where the community, you know, for lack of a better term, is aging up. So we have fewer children in the homes, and that is shrinking our elementary enrollment. As that is primarily a function of the housing market or is influenced by the housing market. So as neighborhoods change and as the housing market changes, we expect to see those numbers change as a reflection of that. But that's why you'll see the majority of the enrollment fluctuations are 3 to 5 students. They're not very significant changes. As you scroll down from that first, on that first page, you then look at our secondary enrollment. Again, you have the enrollment from Mount Logan and Logan High from last year and the enrollment from this year. You'll see that both schools have experienced an increase in enrollment. The middle school going from 1,236 to 1,251, and the high school going from 1,611 to 1,637. So we are seeing, again, this is a reflection of the fact that our elementary students are growing and moving into our secondary schools, which also affects the decrease in our elementary enrollment, but we have seen a slight increase in our secondary enrollment. Our overall enrollment district-wide has, at this point, when we compare today's numbers
to the numbers at the end of the year, last year, so May 25th, I believe, is the date that it pulls from, we currently have 49 students fewer than we had last year. So a slight decrease there. So that, of course, will impact discussions moving forward. That is still not our October 1 count. We still have schools where the enrollment is fluctuating a little bit. Excuse me. We don't expect to see huge changes in that number between now and October 1, but the October 1 number is the student count that will be used when calculating future funding. So that's currently where we are with enrollment. As you scroll to the top of the second page, this is what that enrollment looks like in terms of each classroom. What I have there for you is each class with the average class size at that grade at elementary. So you'll see kindergarten through fifth grade by each school, what the enrollment or what the class sizes in that grade level are. For the dual language immersion schools that split out, the top line are the dual language classes. So you can see the class size for those courses, and then you see the class size for the non-DLI classes in each of those schools as well. As you'll notice, we have a couple of areas where the numbers may end up meriting some class-wise reduction help with aides. We don't currently have any sections that are high enough where it looks like we would be adding another section of students right now. But we do have some areas where once we get our October 1 counts, we will use our rubric for allocating class size reduction resources, and we'll allocate those accordingly, working with the principals. So you'll see we have a couple of numbers. Our highest number, as you'll see there, is 30, and that's in one of our dual language classes at Bridger and two of our upper grade classes at Hillcrest, where we have our highest enrollment. For the secondary class counts, what we put there is it's a little bit harder to show the class sizes across the school because you're dealing simply with a significantly larger number of classes, but you do have the low, the highs, and the average class sizes, both for Mount Logan and for Logan High School. When you do look at the low classes, what you'll see at Mount Logan, for example, are Flute 6 class. The other two classes, the AOP EMR writing, is emerging writing for English language learners. So these are students who are at an emergent level of learning English, which is, if you look at the levels, you start with pre-emergent, then you go to emergent, and then you go to more advanced levels. So students at the emergent level are novice English speakers, and they are in a class specifically to help them develop their writing skills in English. So that class is, simply as a reality of the purpose it serves, going to be a significantly smaller class. Just as a small flute class in a middle school band, you're not going to have a large flute section, so it's going to be a smaller class. The Math Academy that you see there is another intervention class that's for early identification of students who are struggling with math and giving them an additional period of math to get them caught up to try to cut down on the likelihood of their struggling later on. We know that ability to pass those basic math classes is not only a key indicator of their future coursework, both in middle school and high school, but also is one of those indicators that can predict likelihood of dropout. So this is something that the staff at Mount Logan is working on to catch those kids early, get their skills up to a level where they can be successful, and keep them moving forward from there. The low class you see at Logan High School there is the new CTE class, the aircraft course. That's a brand new one, so still being built, and spreading some of the understanding of what that class can provide so they get more students in there. The high class sizes, you'll see there are courses that we generally know are going to be higher, band, orchestra, music production. The thing that both schools have been working on is trying to keep their average class size in other courses between the 25 to 35 ratio. And that's what you see both schools there have been able to do. with their averages. We know there are classes that are higher than that, but in terms of the academic courses where we're trying to make sure that we keep the numbers down somewhat, they've been shooting to stay between that 25 and 35 mark at the two schools.
Do we have an average taking out some of the outliers, like the band and orchestra that are really high, you know, the average of the core classes?
Because we've still been having a little bit of fluctuation, I don't have that all broken out, but we can get that for you within the next week.
Because I think that would be more meaningful number.
Yeah, your average number in math, the average number.
The outliers mm-hmm. both ends, but in our core classes, what our averages are.
Yeah, we can pull that for you.
And the largest class size is band 7. Is that a decision you allow that department to make? If you want to have big for this and double for that, or is that just a decision that's made?
That's something where Principal Guyman works with the enrollment that they have coming in, the requests they have coming in, and with the band and orchestra teachers to determine, here's what we have in terms of requests, how do we want to structure this, both in terms of supporting the program as well as how do you make these classes work with the rest of the school schedule. So I'd be happy to answer any other questions or me there. We will get a breakdown that shows the average class size broken out by content area that can show that, and that'll give a little more clarity of where that's working out. No, that's a great request. Right.
And music production, the 69, you know, those should be taken out. We should be looking at what our average numbers are in our core classes.
Yeah, I should have told Principal Aldi I had to stick around for 10 more minutes. So but I will get that to you, and we'll email that out, and then we can also share that and again our next meeting.
Well, that might be something that we can discuss when we talk about the actual October 1 count.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have that information when we do that presentation in October.
Definitely.
Any questions about any other staffing or class sizes for superintendents? It's nice to see our numbers going up in the high school and middle school. We kind of thought that the high school numbers would go up, so I just think if we have more exposure to the programs that we have, that's what we're going to increase. Mm-hmm.
Now, looking at these enrollment numbers, as you're all aware, this is one of the things that's leading to the discussion of our boundary study that we're conducting this year. The reason for that is as we look at our current enrollment and we compare that to the projected growth that the area, particularly Logan City, is expected to experience with building over the next few years, the number of subdivisions that have been approved, those that are currently underway, we do have some projected growth that we need to look at. And the question is, as we look at those areas where we expect the growth to be, can we accommodate for that growth with our existing facilities? Do we need to modify school boundaries? Or do we need to look at some new school construction for elementary? We know that out in the Bridger area, they are expected to have, the last report we got from Principal Taggart was approximately 80 new dwellings available. Correct, but there are a number of other apartment buildings, et cetera, that are currently underway. So there is some real potential for Bridger to see an additional influx of students before the end of this year. And it is a full school. They have very little room to grow. So what we need to do is look at those areas of projected growth with new construction and identify, can we shuffle boundaries somewhat to accommodate for that growth, or do we need to start looking at possibilities for construction of another elementary school? So those are the reasons behind the boundary discussions that we'll be having this year. We have our first meeting this Thursday evening at Ellis. Shanna Longhurst has been making sure that those notifications are sent out to parents, and they will continue to be get reminders through Facebook and through ParentLink, and we will send a notification out to all staff through the district email, just letting them know of those meetings and that staff members are welcome to attend as well.
All right, any other questions to superintendent?
See if my mic works. All right, well, thank you. It'll be an interesting discussion.
be, and then to see furthermore more information about total account. Maybe we'll have a whole bunch of students that will move back between now and then. That'd be very nice. All right, we are now to report, which is a report from board members. We haven't had a report from board members for a couple of months, it feels like. So we will start with Jenny.
Yes. Report for weeks, a few weeks, or just from, I think just in general, today's tours, I think were a delight, actually, to go and see those kids today. I think it was, I really enjoyed seeing the skills and the, just how talented our teachers are and the abilities that they have is, I think it's just wonderful to go. And I think I stayed after school and spoke with a couple teachers, and it was really fun to spend some time and discuss and talk longer with them and just express how much we appreciate the teachers and how much they are an asset to our school district, because we have some great teachers and they really give a lot, and we appreciate that they do. Unfortunately, I've been sick for a couple weeks, so I really haven't been out and about much, so I don't really have a whole lot to report, unfortunately. So I'll just let Anne go on.
Thank you, Jenny.
Sorry.
Sorry. There's always stuff to do in the future, so thank you very much. Anne.
I enjoyed our visits today also. I also really enjoyed helping get Logan High ready. I know we didn't do a lot, but it was really fun to be there and to see our Logan High teachers and staff, all that they were doing to get that high school ready, and how positive our staff members were as they were dealing with all that was happening just before opening. And I know that the teachers whose rooms I dusted seemed to really appreciate it, and it was really fun to be there, and I think that builded some team effort by being there. Lisa and I went over after the Riverside breakfast last week to Logan High School to the Avid Trading. I was so impressed with that, and I wished I had been able to go to the two full days of training, because the things they discussed were really eye-opening to me. The part that I was there for was, what do we celebrate? And do we celebrate just what we talked about, the football team and the cheerleaders and the this and the that, and how do we celebrate all students? And that what we celebrate really is a reflection of the school and should be a reflection of all students. And so we talked about individual teachers, how can they celebrate each student? And the real eye-opener for me was that we should see color. We should see challenges that students have. If we treat everybody the same, we're not helping kids improve. That, you know, if a child has a challenge, we need to acknowledge that challenge and help the child through the challenges, the student through the challenges. And that was, and then there were those examples and the data about that just really had an impact on me and the way I think about life and students. So it was that part. And one thing that Jolene gave me was a copy of the notes that they use, and might even be good for us to use for board meetings, where you write down what happens in your questions, so that we could be writing down those questions, and then when it's question time, here are the questions we have, because so often, you know, we're concerned that our question is it going to be beyond where it can be answered. But I really liked those Cornell notes, and I was given a notebook, and I thought I need to start using that more when I go to presentations or even board meetings. So that to me was very impressive, and the presenter was very good. And the Logan High staff, again, were just so into talking about what they could do to help all students succeed. It was really exciting.
Very nice. Thank you very much, and we appreciate all you do as well. Connie,
just pass this one.
The only one.
I don't have a lot to report, and I apologize for not being able to go to the school visits today. One of the things that I thought about, and I just was looking it up while in between breathing after Frank talked, and it was, I forget. Now, I was looking up the book, Turn the Ship Around. When Ken got up and talked about, he used the word empower, and teachers by having them do the faculty meetings and having them do, whether they do the entire thing or they do half of it, but they have a big responsibility for the faculty meetings and for the professional development. And the one thing I thought about, and I think I mentioned this one time before, is that if you haven't read the opening paragraph, please read it again, because it fits with our mission statement. It fits with what we want, or what we say that we want, that school district where people are glad to be here because they are empowered, they are appreciated, they are listened to, you know, and all of those words that go, that he has in the book. You know, we talk about clarity, communication. I'd like us to start using a lot more of those words, Frank, that we have in that, you know, we talk like the flagship. And when you brought that up again, you know, during the big opening that we had, how many people, how many hits did you have on that song, by the way?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Don't be scared. You didn't count. Okay, go find out. Anyhow, empowered phrases that, when he talked about that, it's take control. You take control, you take control. And as I hear more principals talking about having their faculties do that, and when I see the board, and especially the superintendent, when I see you sending teachers to things that allow them to say, yes, I am, I do, I have this competency, because I have it on a piece of paper now, or just, you know, there seems to be a lot more going on of sending teachers out on different, like the AVID, there's a new one coming, ELCs coming up, things like that, rather than just sending directors and sending the department chairs or whatever, but sending a lot of our teachers out, you know, to get more education, to see what's going on or whatever, but that's how they take control. I'd like us to use that language as a board. I know I'm not saying write it as a board so much, but as to use it a lot more often, because it ties exactly to our mission about what students lead with. Well, they can't do that unless we do what's in that first paragraph, which means we make all of the people who work in this school district feel that they are the school district. That I see that happening more, and just when it just went like that, you know, when Ken talked about use the word empower, and then he said what he was going to do with the teachers at faculty meetings, and it'd be nice to hear that from more people. So that was just my little lecture today. Thank you.
Well, I'll have to go home and reread our book.
Just even if you reread that, or just that little handout.
Lisa, I don't have a whole lot more to add. I just want to say it was exciting to see the high school open. It was kind of last minute, a little bit dusting, but the teachers did a great job of pulling them together at the last minute and getting in and being able to teach in the new facility. I know the students are excited. I've heard a lot of positive about, especially, you know, the cafeteria area, how beautiful that is, and they're not stuck in the basement anymore. And just how everything's coming together with the collaboration areas. And I think it leads for a lot of opportunities for our kids. And in advance, she and I were able to go over some of the AVID training they were doing with teachers. And they had a great discussion on equity and equality and how they're two different things. And you can't just provide the same service for every student to make them equal, but different students are in need of different things. And so it was really, I thought it was great to see all the teachers that were over there engaged and talking about what is best for our students in the high school. So I enjoyed going to that. Very nice. Thank you very much, Lisa. I agree with everything that's been said. I'm grateful as well to be able to participate in high school opening. Maybe that's something that we can do long term as a volunteer at the school, any school, right before and help. I'm sure that that service could be utilized anywhere in the district. So maybe we can set a few hours ahead or a few hours aside next year and just help out wherever we can. So it was really nice. One thing that hasn't been touched upon tonight is that we did have our governor visit in the middle of the month, and it was great to have him here and to be able to see some amazing things that are happening in our school district. I had a conversation with his education advisor after, inviting him back. I said, we'd really like to have him back for the entire day. We will completely entertain him for the entire day. While I loved having him here, it was a little bit too brief for me. I really want to dive in and really show him the amazing things that are happening rather than just show him snippets. So I'm pulling some strength. Hopefully we'll be able to get him back here and be able to spend the whole day, you know, just spending time with teachers in classrooms. We could pick up a whole myriad of opportunities that he could participate throughout our district. So we'll see if that happens. But it was great to be able to have him here with us, to be able to have his entourage of people just want to stop by and see what's happening in our district. So I was grateful for that. And I'm grateful for all you do. It's great to be back together again in normal routine. It's been a long summer. And I appreciate all of our... I looked up at the audience. I think it's been a long time since we've had all of our teams here, as well as our district office staff. Everyone's here tonight, so we're grateful to have all of you here with us tonight. I appreciate all you've done over the summer time. We look forward to a great and amazing school year as we start and embark on a new journey going forward. And now we'll have our report from our business administrator, Jeff Martin.
Okay. Well, I think it just turned off. Okay. All right. I, too, was impressed with the start of school, and I really appreciate each of you for going to help. I just think that speaks volumes to the type of board that we have. I've got photographic evidence of you guys over there cleaning and dusting and doing whatever you can and just stepping in, and I just think, you know, we talk a lot about Team Logan, but to me that's what really comes home is to see things like that, that, you know, you're willing to just step in and do whatever it takes to help things get going. I know, you know, our maintenance, custodial, and IT staff have just been really putting in hours, and especially at Logan High, and they're behind because of, you know, the timelines and the deadlines to try to get everything installed and get the laptops out and get everything cleaned. And so, you know, they've just done a monumental effort, and they still are. And I think that needs to be recognized because it's been a difficult opening of school with the situation with the Logan High, and we're right up against that deadline. And I agree. You know, Frank's welcome to Logan was just cool. I don't know how else to put it. That was just awesome to see him up there. And I listened to him doing something in his office, and I'm like, does he know what he's doing? When he got up there, it was amazing. I watched it the other night and showed my family, and they were having a good time. And that, you know, it's just great to, you know, have that type of feeling, I think, you know, coming into our district. You feel like a team. And I think that's just a beautiful feeling. I really appreciated Riverside's breakfast and the, you know, that we did. And then we went there again for our visited Wilson. And I just marvel, you know, because I'm just not the best person when it comes to entertaining children, you know, young children. I just, you know, you think I'd had enough that I'd figured it out, but I, you know, I get a group of them.
I'm at a loss, and I watch these teachers, and it's just harder than normal, and the kids are just paying, I mean, you have, you know, 20 kids paying rapt attention for the whole time. It just amazes me that they can do that. It's wonderful to watch that, to see the caliber of people that work with us in the district. So appreciate you guys and all that you put into the district.
You did your
job. I hope I do better than older people.
might I just add real quickly that I thought it was interesting because I was with Jeff, who was my partner at Riverside, and the kids just looked at him like, whoa, it's the coolest guy I've ever seen in my life. And he had one little boy and one little girl that just instantly, like, bonded instantly, that he entertained, and it was fun to be able to see that instant. So you say that, but you made a few friends today.
You used to have to scare people, so I was really excited.
Yeah, they would like you. Your mom could stay there all day, but they're best friends. All right, Superintendent.
Thank you. Just two things to share. First, related to Riverside, as you all recall, our District Teacher of the Year last year was Miss Joy Coombs, one of our preschool teachers at Riverside. She was recognized along with the other District Teachers of the Year from across the state last Friday evening at a dinner down in Salt Lake where the governor spoke and Tammy Piper's there, and a really neat event. But one of the, and that's always fun to be able to have our Teachers of the Year participate in that and be recognized at that level. One of the neat things that came up afterwards was as the evening had finished and everyone was preparing to leave, a gentleman who has been involved with the celebrations for the past 40 years approached Joy and told her how excited he was, how impressed he was that there was a preschool teacher who had been recognized as a Teacher of the Year. He goes, in the last 40 years, I've never seen that happen before. And he said, Joy, and as Joy shared this with my wife and I, you know, she shared, you know, that just speaks to the value that our district places on early childhood education and early intervention, recognizing that those early experiences and those formative years have a lasting impact on a child's ability to learn and learn at high levels. It was great to be able to celebrate Joy and the work that she does at Riverside, but it was also neat to be able to see that turn into a celebration of both her and her colleagues in the preschool, both our special ed preschool and our traditional preschool, and the impact they have on kids. One other thing I just want to celebrate with you all briefly, and if you've probably seen some of this on my social media feed, but I want to talk about something that Adams Elementary is doing right now. A couple of their teachers started talking about this idea, and they grabbed onto it as a staff and are teaching it to all the students, but they call it the learning pit. And they talk about when you're learning a new thing, it's kind of like you're going down into a pit, and there's a point when you're at the bottom where you're frustrated and it's hard and you're getting maybe angry. But good learners go through the pit. If you jump over it or you try to go around it, you're not learning. Because learning is going to involve challenges, and it's going to be hard sometimes. So let's talk about what good learners do to get out of the pit. And they talk about specific strategies and how you get help from your peers, how you get help from your teachers. And then that gets you out, and you're at success. And I was talking to a third grade teacher this last week about this. And I asked her, I said, so, because I'd seen this in multiple grades as I've been visiting, and I asked her, so how do your kids respond to this idea? She goes, it's great, because they talk to one another about it now, and they talk to me about it. And even my students who maybe didn't struggle with this lesson, they say, okay, we got this, but we're just going to learn something new now, so that means we're just going to go back into the pit, but we know how to do that, so okay, let's go. So they, as a school, are training their 360-some students on how to effectively face learning challenges, and that challenges are an expected part of learning. They're a desirable part of learning, and when you face those challenges, here are the steps you take to move forward and get past them and experience success. And as we look at everything that's gone into Carol Dweck's research on mindset and grit, or whatever terms you want to start throwing out there, that understanding that challenges in learning or challenges in just any endeavor that we have are part of growth, are part of progression, and that the strategies and the mindset that allow us to work through those challenges are key to our long-term success, just makes me extremely appreciative of what the staff at Adams is doing as a group to do that. And that's something that a handful of teachers started talking to one another and said, you know what, we need to do more of this. Let's talk about what it could look like. And that now has spilled over into how teachers are assessing students, how they're gathering feedback from students. We have teachers who are coming up with really creative ways to get feedback from students on how students perceive their level of understanding, and that's translating into changing how you then help students get to the point where they do feel they understand things. So I just have been extremely excited to see that as a school-wide effort that's going on, to see the things the teachers are attempting and that they're implementing in their classrooms, and to have a group of teachers who are, along with their innovative practices, supporting one another in the speed bumps along the way. Because when you try to increase the amount of student feedback to the teacher and have it be meaningful and accurate, you're going to run into obstacles. You know, there are challenges, whether it's with the format or getting kids to be accurate in the feedback they give. But the staff has done a fantastic job being willing to work through those issues and support one another. So next time you're in Adams, I encourage you to look for pictures of the learning pit, because they're all over the place. They're in the classrooms, they're in the hallways. And if you get with some of the kids, they can talk about it and say what they're doing. And that, when you think about the long-term impact that can have on their success, not just in school but in life, that is something really cool that our staff at Adams is doing. So I just wanted to share that with you all so you can watch for that next time you're there.
All right. Thank you very much, Superintendent. We appreciate that report. And we do have a visit. To make sure that you're working on your master board award. We'll have to report that in November, so you'll want to have the next couple weeks. I guess you've got more than a couple weeks. 6 weeks to get your master board's award wrapped up, so make sure you look at that, log on, and take those critical tests that you have to take to find out the opening law, and then also we'll get that reported so that you can get recognized and check for your master board. All right, anything else? With that, we're going to close our board meeting tonight at 6:27. Thanks again for all of you for coming tonight, and have a good night. And we're sorry about the microphones.
Yeah.